Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. Welcome to a continually buoyant Fosse Arms this season with myself, Tim, with Norm. Good evening.
Good evening.
And with Killer. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
I had a funny incident this week, right? I went into a place where I'd just coffee shop. Went into a coffee shop and the guy I know is a Turkish guy. Lovely, lovely bloke. I sort of know him quite well, just to say hello to now. And as I walked in, he goes, "What have you done to us?" And I thought, I really, you know, it's not the sort of thing he'd ever sort of say. And it really knocked me backwards. I'm like, what are you talking about? And thinking, you know, does he think there's been some act of vandalism? Have I not spent enough on coffee in the last few weeks? They're going bankrupt. Racking my brain. And then I'm suddenly thinking, we have had the odd conversation about football, so he knows I'm a Leicester fan. So, and then the penny drops, he's a Besiktas fan. And he obviously saw my confusion, and he goes, "Daniel Amati is not a footballer."
Oh, dear.
Which had me in stitches, to be honest. But I hope you two are okay. I hope you've had a good double game week. Killer, have you had a good week?
Very good. Yeah, very good Sunday.
Superb Sunday. And Norm, what about, first of all, should we have a quick look back to Liverpool briefly?
Yeah, of course. Today, have a little look back at Liverpool, which was, I thought it was, as we kind of would have expected. I think it was always going to be a tough ask. They made many changes, as did we. I thought we gave it a go. I thought it was an absolute delight to take the lead and hang on for the first half. To be fair, Liverpool were better than us. But I thought that we put in a good shift. I thought that the players they really made an effort. We've carried on trying to play as we're intending to play. I mean, obviously got, you know, it doesn't always work for us when we get impressed, but it's nice to see them trying to carry on what has worked well for us so far. It took a worldie of a goal to put us behind. Could have been very different had indeed he managed to slot away his one-on-one. I think 3-1 was a fair scoreline, but, you know, we could easily have come out of something from the game. Me and Killer will both be slightly disappointed that we did lose because we wanted to progress in the cup. I know you, Tim, are actually fairly happy, really, that's a, you know, some more games that we're not going to have to worry about. And I think I'm kind of in agreement, in as much as it's good that we've had a good run in it. We've not disgraced ourselves. We've demonstrated that we can match for periods of time some of the better teams. And, you know, it was a good run out for our a lot of our second string. So all in all, the right result. Decent day at the office. I didn't lose any sleep over it. I was disappointed, but, you know, it's something we expected and didn't really expect anything else. So, yeah, ultimately pleased, really, that to get through the game and really prepare for what was a much more important game on Sunday.
Yeah, just on Liverpool, a couple of things. One, hilarious on the sort of BBC have your say comments that Liverpool fans sort of arrogantly going on there saying, like, you know, we made all these changes and we were still too good. None of them realising that we'd made 9 changes as well, by the way. So, I mean, rather typical there. Killer, one thing that's sort of been at the back of my mind over these last few weeks, playing in the way that we have, and we'll come on to the Blackburn game and obviously the error that Hermansson made. But when when you saw us playing in that way, in our now normal way against Liverpool, the thought that's crossed my mind is, blimey, Burnley did this. Enzo's doing what company did. And Burnley ran away with the league. It's starting to look like we might do that. Burnley now can't buy a win against better opposition.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Tim. There'll be a good mate of mine listening to this, and he knows full well he was in receipt of a text from me during the game, which effectively said, would Enzo be the right manager for us in the Premier League? Now, of course, it would be absolutely horrific in a lot of ways, wouldn't it, to turn around and thank somebody for getting 128 points, and then can you clear off? But I don't know about you guys. I was watching the game, and I was watching us play out from the back. Now, we're talking about a lively, full press Liverpool team, super fit and absolutely all over that as a strategy. But my backside was twitching. It was almost like, oh my God, what on earth are you guys doing? It looked really bad. Now, it's one thing, and we'll talk about Blackburn in a minute, and we'll talk about the goal that we conceded against Blackburn, very similar to the goal we conceded, by the way, against Southampton. But when you move up considerable levels, as you do when you play a team against Liverpool, albeit with the changes, it's an altogether different setup. And I think you're spot on, Tim. I think to some extent, if you're going to play that gung-ho, literally, let's just, when we say play out from the back, let's literally use the full length of the pitch and the penalty box and everything. I don't know. I just look at it and I worry. I just wonder what your view is, Norm.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I also think that it's one of those things that we're going to, you know, we're early in this development. So to expect the Championship leaders, albeit, but, you know, probably 12, how many games we played? 12, 13 in total. To expect the second string team ultimately to go up to Liverpool and not find it more difficult to pass out from the back. I think we would be silly to believe that. So I it gets me nervous playing against anyone, let alone Liverpool. But I do think it's something that we will get better at and will improve at. And therefore, by the time it comes to us being in the Premier League, hopefully we'll be established playing that way. So I don't think at this moment in time it's fair to, you know, suggest we can't play like that moving forward, because we'd probably improve our squad, etc., going into Premier League anyway. But as things stand, yeah, we're not quite good enough.
But as Tim said, I mean, if you think about Burnley, by the end of last season, they were practically unbeatable, weren't they, in the Championship?
But they were
playing that way. And now all we're saying is can you translate that over to the Premier League, or do you end up just becoming the whipping boys?
Well, I think everyone fundamentally is trying, well, most teams are trying to play that way. I think we're a very different team to Burnley. I think we're a lot better than Burnley. And I was actually going to come on to an article I read. It was a Q&A with Phil McNulty from the BBC correspondent. And he was asked whether the gap between the Championship is narrowing. And he said, well, to answer that question, if this Leicester team were in the Premier League, I would not have them as any of my, to go down. And I think we're all of that kind of philosophy. So I think we're better than Burnley. I think we're better than a lot of the teams in the Premier League. So I think that we can we would be able to transfer that from the Championship to the Premier League, albeit we would be caught out more often against the better sides.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think what would be interesting, now we are out, I mean, I don't want to, I think using the word happy to be out of this cup, that's a bit strong, but about, I don't know, but I'm pragmatic about getting knocked out. What would be interesting in the FA Cup, hopefully not immediately, but at some point down the line, is to draw a mid-table Premier League side. Because I'd be really, regardless of the result, I'd be interested to play against someone like Brentford, someone of that sort of level, and just see where this takes us. Because, I mean, the team that ironically have done this to us at the King Power this season were Hull. I think Hull have done that that style of game more than anyone else at the King Power. And obviously they did manage to get away with a win, but I think I said to you, Norm, at the time that, you know, I'm quite comfortable if the lesser team want to do that, because the team with the better players are less likely to come unstuck.
Yeah, I mean, Hull, I think Hull was actually one of those games we should have won, but there have been other games that we've been fortunate to win. So, but I'm sure you'll be noticing that as the season's progressing, we are, you know, the first few games that we were winning by one goal, and all of a sudden it's I'm not saying like the Blackburn game, for instance, wasn't really a 4-1 game, but at the end of the day, we keep scoring late goals and wearing teams down. So I don't know. I think it's I just think it's something that, you know, ultimately it's just doing well for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, mention Blackburn then Killer. Completely different sort of game. I mean, as Norm said, it you know, 4-1 felt very harsh. Enzo called it the most important win, and he said they were the best team we played. And I would probably go along with that.
Yeah, I would really. I thought it was a good game. To be honest, I thought there was two good teams, in so much as they're both trying to play football. They're trying to play football, and we were obviously as well, as we always do. Sometimes I thought our football was a bit scratchy, a bit broke down quite a lot. I don't think we had anywhere near the fluidity that we had against Southampton, for instance, where we were carving loads and loads of chances. This was much more of a competitive football match. And I suppose ultimately the difference was the quality of the squad, wasn't it? You know, we had superstars on the bench at this level, at least, and they just didn't. So, yeah, good game. Again, if you go through the goals, and I think, you know, we can quickly pick through them. Our first goal was Leicester, reminiscent of us when we couldn't defend set pieces. I mean, that's an awful goal to give away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just when you thought that was a really bad goal to give away, though, enter Leicester City. But I mean, again, go back to what Norm says. I get it. There is an argument to say it's going to happen. Don't moan about it, because when we play out from the back and we literally go back to front, the football's beautiful. So, you know, if you turn around and go, if you take the middle third out to some extent, then you don't get that lovely football that we're playing. But it was a desperately, desperately poor goal, and one of those goals. I mean, you just don't need to be giving those away. Vardy's finish, beautiful. And by the way, I just think he looks great. You know, I think any question as to whether or not there was anything left in Jamie Vardy, that's just been put to bed. I just think he looks a threat. And when he goes off, I just don't think we look anywhere near that threat. And I'll get onto that in a second. Penalty, glad that the referee gave it. Often they don't, you know, and you've seen those more often than not given. It was a penalty, of course. He's absolutely manhandled him. He's got in front of him. And beautiful finish from KDH to wrap it up. The one thing I would say to him, and I thought there was a lot of very, very nice, good 6 to 7 out of 10 performances. But the one thing that really worries me, and I mean really worries me as far as Leicester concerned, is how bad does Kaliti look?
Well, he needs a goal, doesn't he? I mean, he got a goal. So, well, I mean,
he's had goals. He had got one against Norwich as well. He doesn't look like he's doing anything. Now, again, I question, now the transfer window's closed, I think we look better with a fast 9. I don't think the way we play suits him at all. He just looks like he doesn't quite know, what do I do? Do I go 9? Do I go 10? I can't really go 9. I haven't got any pace. So I'm never looking to break the line. Well, if that is the case and we look better with Vardy, but you don't want to give him a full 90, should we now be turning to Patson? Should we now be turning around and saying, actually, for a number of reasons with Patson, Daka now, there is an argument to say, I think strategically, as far as Leicester are concerned, tactically, as far as Leicester are concerned, we'll be better off playing him, at least finding out what he's like. And secondly, from a financial point of view, bags a couple of goals, somebody decides to whack 25 mil down in January, we go on and sell him, Tom Cannon comes back in, but we can then reinvest the 25 mil. Isn't that a good scenario for Leicester City?
Yeah, it's curious, Norm, isn't it? Because I think there was, I forget which game it was after, and Enzo said, you know, and he spoke very, very empathetically about the players that hadn't had a chance up until that point. And he specifically mentioned Daka. And he said, look, you know, Patson's not had a chance yet. But it was just after the transfer window shut. So it seemed to me that, right, he was ready to give him a chance. I think, am I right in saying both of Kelechi's goals have been penalties? I think they have, haven't they?
He scored that back heel, didn't he, in one of the League Cup games?
Oh, yes, the League Cup, that's right. But, you know, it's not, as Killer's suggesting, he's not really done enough to say, I'm your go-to man once Vardy's knackered.
No, he's not. And I think that's just backing up Killer's argument that he's concerned about him. I've always felt Iheanacho's been, you know, really, you know, up for the fight and all that kind of stuff, and he's never let his head drop. I just wonder maybe whether still being, you know, second string in a championship side is finally just made him think, oh my goodness, I'm still not getting, you know, the regular starts that he feels he deserves. Maybe he just needs a run in the side. But, I mean, I quite like the idea of giving Daka a go. I mean, you think about the speed of, like, Mavididi, Fatou, Vardy, or if you had Daka in the middle. It's frightening, isn't it? Yeah. It really is frightening. You just would not want to play us.
Yeah, it's just odd that he's not been given any game time at all, particularly in a game when, you know, we're winning that game. And
but it was only 2-1. It was only 2-1 when they made the subs, and it was a tight game. So yeah. It's probably not the time to bring someone like that on. And I'll tell you the other thing we've not really looked at. It's interesting again, isn't it? How now we're good again and attacking in the box. How many penalties we're getting? You know, we are winning a lot of penalties. I know it was a soft one for Blackburn to give away at the weekend, but you know, it's looking like, I wouldn't surprise me by the end of the season we've not had 10 or 11 penalties, and that's all down to the way we're playing and wearing teams out. So
yeah, and on that point, Killer, the way we're playing. I mean, I found it I think I mentioned this last week. I'm interested to see what you think about whether you're actually enjoying this style of play. But there was a point during the game, and what I've realised is that the ball, once it's played, once they've fooled around, if someone's doing the press, the person they want the ball to go to is Vestergaard. It's not Fass and Vestergaard in the middle. It's Vestergaard who has the ball. And the way it was absolutely extraordinary. Again, you know, what's getting used to watching this style of football. It was either when we were 1-0 up or 2-1 up, and Blackburn had stopped pressing at that point for whatever reason. And so Vestergaard's allowed to bring the ball forward. He's walking the ball yeah. to the penalty. At one point, he stopped, put his foot on it. And I'm not joking. It was probably for about 3 or 4 seconds. You know, imagine if we just stopped this show, I'd silence for 3 or 4 seconds. It's quite a long time.
It was like, come and get it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's,
it was
come and get it. I think the commentator, it was a good bit of commentary, actually, because he said, look, you know, it's the crowd that are eventually telling the Blackburn players to go and get it, arguably against the instructions of John Zoll Thomason. But I thought, goodness me, you know, he's potentially happy to put his foot on the ball there for 70 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's almost like we've got this game plan of, we are going to stop you from contracting. We're going to pull you out, and we will just sit there and wait for you to do it. And actually sit there and wait for you to do it when we're 1-0, almost on the basis of, it's your game. Well, it's your game, because we've currently got the 3 points in the pocket. I tell you what I did enjoy about the game, by the way, and I'll get on to the funny point that I messaged you about at the end of the game. But what I do enjoy now about this Leicester City team is, and it was exactly the same with Southampton, and I know it's bound to happen, but at 4-1, you really wouldn't want to be playing against this Leicester team, because the confidence just runs through, and then the class just gets more and more. And at 4-1, it's much more likely to be 5 or 6 than it's ever going to be 4-2, isn't it? But what just made me laugh, though, guys, at the end of the game was when when 9 minutes went up on the board, and as I mentioned to you, there was a Blackburn fan, and I don't know if anybody saw it on the TV, there's a Blackburn fan who would obviously refuse to go home And I thought, fair play to you. So he's one of these, you know, as far as he's concerned, he never leaves before the referee's final whistle. And the 9 minutes he's gone up. And as he's looked up at the 9 minutes, I'll just ask you to go back on your skyboxes and just mouth the words. He's looked up at those minutes. Not like here's a chance for us to get a consolation or a couple of late ones, maybe make a bit of a game of it. Oh no. No, he was well aware he's got 3,000 Leicester fans giving it the ole. And the next goal, if it's coming, is coming in our, and he's just mouthed the words that, let's just say, just suggest that he wasn't altogether happy with the 9 minutes.
A slightly stronger version of, oh, for goodness sake, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, surely you'd have enjoyed the first time that two former Premier League champions have met outside of the top division.
Yeah. Oh, good start, Norm. Good start, yeah. It's actually a slightly depressing start as well, isn't it?
Well, but it is also. But I mean, I'm just thinking of like Vestergaard with his foot stood on the ball. I'm hoping that during training this week, Maresco tells him, if this happens again, sit on it. Like, light up your cigar.
do you remember Leicester City player doing that during a game? Sitting on it?
Ooh.
Go on.
And strangely, he got so the game was, it was back at the old Filbert Street. We were playing Bradford City at home. They were in a relegation scrap. We were 3-0 up and absolutely playing at a canter. And Neil Lennon sat on the ball. He sat on the ball in front of the Bradford fans, waiting for a Bradford player to come and tackle him. What a Bradford player is then literally coming to side him, and he's just literally jinxed past him. But straight after the game, Neil Lennon, who, by the way, is a guy that I've always liked, especially in his Leicester colours, said that the second after he did it, he regretted it.
Right, because he was doing too cocky.
Yeah, it was too cocky, and he just understood what it... He goes, I know what it's like to be a football fan, watching your team losing 3-0 in a game they really needed to win, and I go and do that. He went, no, I was bang out of order, which I kind of thought to myself, funny for doing it and funny for saying that as well.
Yeah, fair play to him. Just going back to our team at Blackburn, we're sort of getting towards a fairly first-choice team, but the one... And obviously then it all ended in disappointment, Norm. But the one I didn't understand was McAteer not playing. Do you think in hindsight he maybe had a hamstring problem?
No, I don't think he had a hamstring problem at all, because otherwise he wouldn't have been... Well, for goodness sake, if he did, then why on earth was he on the subs bench? Yeah. So, I think it was just probably...
He rested him for the previous game, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But
I mean, he played against Liverpool, didn't he?
He rested him for the previous... Yeah, he rested him for the previous league game. Well, so you're thinking he's rested him two games out of three? I mean, doing. He's been our best player, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that is what he's doing, mate. He's absolutely managing this squad on the basis of, we've got enough players that players don't need, or those players that play off the pace, play at a pace, don't need to be playing 5 games in 2 days. And he's just binned it.
And he has been brilliant. I agree. But you know what? Fatawu has been pretty decent as well. And, you know, it's what's fantastic. I mean, it's such a shame that he's picked up this injury. I'm not sure how long he's out for, but you know, we've talked about our wingers. I mean, they're kind of interchangeable. We can, you know, bringing someone like McAteer on after 60 minutes, or Fatawu on after 60 minutes. I mean, or Mavadidi on after 60 minutes. I mean, imagine that. You know, they've worn out the defenders throughout the entire game. And then you've got someone else coming on that's just as quick and just as good and just as dangerous. It's just, you know, we wax lyrical about it, but we are just blessed with an absolutely superb squad, and he's rotating it, and it's, you know, it's just easy for him to do without weakening the side, isn't it?
In those positions, I'm loving it, by the way. I don't know about you guys, I've always enjoyed bullying other football teams. Even when I used to play when I was at a school team for a very, very good side, and we used to win like 8 or 9-0, and there was a discussion of, well, it's not very competitive. I loved it. I absolutely just love bullying football. And I love what we're doing this season. It feels so much better than, you know, looking down the fixtures and going, oh, blimey, Man City away next week. And Arsenal away. You know it's going to be 4-0, 2-0, 3-0. I'm really enjoying the fact that we're going into every game literally like Real Madrid of this league. I just love it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's you know, we of course we want to be in the Premier League, but we have mentioned this before. The Championship is a very, very fun league when you are doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell you who is really enjoying the Championship. And I thought he had his best game against Blackburn's Ndidi. He finally looked. I don't want to. This is sound ridiculous. The complete attacking midfielder, Norm. I thought, you know, because he's been himself saying, look, he's been on a journey and he's learning the role. And he still said that. But I thought against Blackburn, I really thought he was outstanding.
He was brilliant. He's learning very quickly. And he's, you know, when we consider how disappointing his last couple of seasons have been, he's like a new player. He's like a new signing. He's been immense. You know, it's great. You know, really is great to see. And obviously I'll eat humble pie, given I've been one that's been, for many weeks earlier in the season, was asking that Cassaday started. I think now Cassaday is very much going to be a bit part player with Mr. Ndidi around, and I'm pretty sure he'll be even more of a bit part player when Dennis Pratt comes back. So, Ndidi's been brilliant. It's great to see.
Just ducking back a couple of weeks then for both of you, but Killer first. Are we going to get a player, and particularly bearing in mind McAteer's injury now, are we going to get a player with 13 goals?
I think Jamie Vardy's going to score 13
goals. Yeah, it's
goals.
Looking more like
he
him.
He scored 13 by Christmas.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you? He's just going to get hot. Shame about McAteer. You never know with these hamstrings. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 months. I'm hoping young fella, quick recovery time. But yeah, it was one of those. I mean, it was horrible, wasn't it? It was literally like watching 100-meter sprinter go. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the thing is, at the pace that he was going at, easy thing to say, a soft thing to say now because he went off. But I genuinely think if he'd stayed on, he would have scored.
It looked like he was going to score, didn't it, in that movement?
Yeah, but even if it wasn't then, I think he would have scored it. I think he was, as Norm said, this was a flagging Blackburn team that had been chasing the ball for 65, 70 minutes, and suddenly this guy comes on. I mean, can you imagine? And by the way, we haven't touched on it. What a goal against Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a beautiful team goal, number one. But number two, the finish... He literally looks like a boy's on a training ground. Not like he's playing in a Premier League ground, playing in front of the cop. Slipped it past the goalie like, oh, yeah, see ya. Gave him the eyes, didn't he?
It was just brilliant,
absolutely brilliant. I mean, this kid looks almost every game goes by, you go, it's getting better and better. He's just simply getting better and better.
I thought that, Kill. I thought to finish with that foot into that corner with the ball coming across him... often if it's a striker going through, they'd want to put that in the near post, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It's more natural when you're coming across it. To finish with that foot into that corner, I thought was brilliant. And by the way, should also just give a bit of a credit to Yunis Akgun for that pass to him, which I thought was really clever as well. He waited his time and then put it certainly the side of the defender. I wasn't expecting him to put it. Thought that was brilliant. And then he had a little cameo against Blackburn again. And I just thought, in the first game that I saw him, I thought, he's got a bit of a look of a busy fool about him. But after saying him, I think he might... I mean, you'd mentioned he might be someone that could sort of play in a number 10 attacking midfield type role at some point. Maybe he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atkins looked all right. I think he's just got a couple of wingers in front of him at the moment, or three actually, well, there was three before the McAteer's injury, that would just seem to hit the ground running a little bit faster than he has. But he's certainly looking like he can pick a pass and be fairly clinical. So I think I do think he would be an option if we needed him to play in another position. But yeah, again, it's just a just adding to our plethora of riches, isn't he? You know,
got to do as well, Norm, we've, to some extent, fellas, and I know we've been very complimentary about Enzo, but you know when you think about the big decisions that Enzo's made this season, and I can start with who goes in goal, because I know there was a lot of people might have thought, well, I think Iverson's worth a goal. Go, sticks with Mads Hermansson. And I know he made a mistake, but he's got the highest shot-stopping percentage in the Championship. Then you go through your back line and you go, okay, well, what's he doing playing Vestergaard? Well, none of us have got a problem with that. He then puts Ndidi as an attacking midfielder. We turn around and go, that's a really, really odd one. Again, nothing wrong with that at all. That's sort of come good as well. Was McAteer ready for the step up? There might have been a few question marks. No. That looks the right decision. We should really go with Kalichi, though, shouldn't we? Looks like he's going to be the answer at this level. No. I think we're better off with Jamie Vardy. Gets that right as well. He's getting a lot right, isn't he?
Very. I think he's got virtually. I think the only call I would have strongly disagreed with him about from the start of the season was not playing JJ. And I think he's obviously had his hand forced there by Callum Doyle's injury.
I think some of that's because where we have as a club made a mistake is that Doyle is our only left-footed defender or potential left back, and I think that's we should perhaps have kept. I mean, Justin's fine there, but he's not left-footed, and it is better, I think, that you have a left-footed left back. Mm. For what it's worth.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't swap though, Norm. I'd still have Justin ahead of Doyle at the moment.
No, I would. I mean, I love James Justin. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, when we're talking about how great Vestergaard's been and Fass, I thought was, you know, imperious against Blackburn. I mean, he's one of these players that quite regularly just looks far too good for the Championship. I mean, Cody. It would seem incredibly harsh for Cody to replace Vestergaard at the moment, but you would kind of expect that to happen. Or will he just rotate like he does with the wingers and the forwards?
I mean, think about what
he'll be playing on Wednesday, no, because Vestergaard's suspended.
Yeah, of course he's going to be playing, but it's interesting what you said though, Tim, that everything from the back goes through Vestergaard. Why would he drop him then?
Yeah, no, I mean, when they're all fit, you can't drop Fass, though, as Norm said. I mean, Fass has been outstanding.
Yeah, but Enzo's got his way of playing, hasn't he? That's what we know. And if he looks at those three guys and says, the best ball player out of those three is Jan Vestergaard, I promise you he will play him. He will be his number one choice.
I agree. I think at the moment, Cody's got to win his place. I mean, what we don't really know, but I guess Enzo does know, is how good at football, at playing the ball Cody is. Because, Cody has been binned by two clubs in quite strange circumstances for me. I don't understand why he left Wolves, but he just didn't fit the system. I certainly don't understand why Everton don't need Connor Cody, for goodness sake. They're absolutely rubbish. You know, I just don't understand that. Enzo's suddenly said, right, and he's obviously very picky because he's willing to leave some very good players like Daniel Everson out of the team. You've got to be able to play football. So he obviously believes he can. But I agree with you, Killer. I think at the moment, I think he's got, you know, he would be third choice until he wins his place. But he's going to have a chance, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, Killer, over to you, because we are currently co-hosting the Leicester City Pubcast with the Cheltenham Town Pubcast. Mm. And we need our weekly Cheltenham update, please, Killer.
Yeah. And not good news, Cheltenham.
our legion of Cheltenham listeners are going to be disappointed, are they?
In the hunt for a goal, Cheltenham fans. If there is one coming, alas, it won't now be until October. It's been a monumental amount of time. The clocks will have been put back, won't they, until before.
I think you said 14 hours last week, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's just, you know, we're approaching 24, aren't we? We're approaching a full day of football. I'm surprised somebody on Sky News or something hasn't managed to get hold of a Cheltenham Town fan who's been to every game and every minute and just get an idea of what it must be like to watch your team for that long without a goal.
I mean, with all due respect to Cheltenham, I kind of feel that we could field a team of me. And, you know, after so long, eventually I would have just fluked a goal against whoever the opposition are. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe the Cheltenham players are just thinking, oh, this is brilliant. Let's see how long we can go without scoring.
Getting the
record books for something.
Can you imagine? the first guy that scores has to buy everybody a beer.
Well, you're going to love this because... Tomorrow, bottom of the table, Cheltenham.
Yeah.
No wins, no goals. Who are their 24th position in League One face 23rd placed Fleetwood Town.
Oh, surely.
At home.
Surely.
At home. So, Cheltenham, if you don't...
Should we have a show on Wednesday?
We'll just change the front of our pumpkin cast into red and...
see what
happens. Yeah, I mean, it'll be massively disappointing, won't it, if they score?
Yeah.
But anyway, hey-ho, there we go. That's Cheltenham. What else did we need to talk about? Something else that we've managed to do quite successfully over the past 2 or 3 weeks is curse teams. So, Killer, you mentioned that Norwich had a good start, which they had. I said, yeah, a bit worried about Norwich. They then went and got spanked a couple of times. Last week, we said the same thing about Leeds. So it's seeming to me that we've got a bit of a power over some teams. Leeds have fallen away nicely since we cursed them. Is there anyone we need to curse this week?
Well, it looks like there's a bit of cursing going on anyway. I mean, it's an awful result for Preston, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, to be unbeaten for so long and then to go down like that. I mean, it feels like we're playing them at a good time. I mean, I would imagine they're going to feel really, really bruised. But interesting one, Tim, in terms of it feels now we're Leicester City. It feels now that actually the competition's not relevant.
As in the other teams?
Yeah, it just almost feels like, but we're just doing our own thing, aren't we? It's almost just like we're just playing our own tune. It's almost like you guys can sing whatever you want back there because that doesn't make any difference because we're up here and no one's going to touch us. And actually, the longer this goes on, the more you would imagine the confidence is going to spread and we're going to get harder and harder to beat, I think.
Well, I must admit, Norm, after Blackburn was the first game because, you know, for me, you're only as good as the if the opposition win every week and you win every week, then really you're not gaining any ground. I relaxed a bit after that Blackburn game, particularly knowing we've got Preston at home. We're already 4 points clear of them. Sunderland, who I am, you know, marginally worried about. I think Sunderland are quite likely to finish in the top three. But they're 4 points behind Preston, so they can't even catch Preston up this midweek. So, Norm, if we do beat Preston, we'll definitely be 7 points clear of third place.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's every chance that we'll beat Preston and Stoke, and could ultimately be as much as 10 points clear of third place come the end of this weekend. And I think Killer's hit the nail on the head. Leicester do not, we need to respect all the teams we play. It is a tough division, but we are, and we've said this many times, I think it's fairly obvious and to us and pretty well to everyone in football that has any knowledge whatsoever that we are easily the best team in this division. And it will take a miracle for someone to finish above us. I honestly believe that. And I mean, I'm sure you'll be aware because you're both exceedingly knowledgeable that this is our start to the season is the joint best ever start to a Championship season. Sheffield United had 24 points after this amount of games 20 years ago. But that's how good this start is. You know, we are absolutely flying and we could have 30 points from 11 games. I mean, this is just, it's just not Leicester, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Magic.
It's not anybody.
No,
it's not anybody, is it?
It's not Man City. They lost at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. They're rubbish, they are.
But pointless, yeah, absolutely. That Haaland's an absolute donkey. He couldn't even score for Cheltenham.
Right, Killer, let's have a look at these two games. Double game week, as we've been talking about. So Preston, the big thing we've talked about is Vestergaard, is also McAteers. I'm guessing he would have played in this game. So what do? We go with the same sort of team any normal manager goes with the same sort of team that beat Blackburn, but we haven't got a normal manager, have we?
No, we've not. No, there's no telling what he's going to do, Tim. All that we do know is he'll get a result. How he does it, how he goes about it, it's his own business. You can be absolutely sure. He doesn't like the idea, does he, of the leggy, quick players playing two games in 5 days. He doesn't like that. So there's no telling what he's going to do. So I would imagine he'll keep the engine room the same goalkeeper, same back line.
With Cody.
Yeah, Cody obviously coming in for the suspended Vestergaard, as you say. And you're absolutely sure the excellent Winks and Didi, and I'd imagine KDH, and then maybe one or two changes up front.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just wonder whether maybe this was the kind of game that he might think about giving Chowdhury another run out instead of Pereira, or, you know, certainly with the fact that we've got Stoke 3 days later. But I think that because of the length of time he's playing Vardy, I think he would look at this as a game where he could almost play Vardy for 50 minutes, couldn't he? And then bring someone else on. So Mavadidi's played a lot. Maybe he'll give Atkin a go instead of Fatawu or something like that. Who, you know, look, what we have learned, I think you just alluded to it, there's no point second guessing what team he's going to pick. He's just going to pick what he likes, isn't he? Yeah. And we'll still probably win. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's guaranteed to be a player in that side that we think, oh, that's interesting. You know? Maybe that would be Daka. Maybe it would be Daka for Vardy.
Could be.
Do you think, Killer, though, he's willing to... So, as the table stands, so we might well have said Southampton had been our toughest game, or Norwich, you know, we were speculating. As the table's mapped out, we are now playing the third place team in the Championship. In principle, this is going to be the best team we've played, albeit at home. Do you think that might make him just think twice about being as crazy as he's been with these changes?
Well, it didn't influence his decision against Norwich, and that Norwich was a tougher game, and I still maintain that Norwich was a tougher game, and it was away from home. Didn't make any difference. I honestly don't think it will make a blind bit of difference. Anybody could come in. The interesting thing, by the way, against Preston, they've had a good start and then a really bad result. I've just noticed Leicester City even money with Paddy Power, by the way, to win the league. Preston, who you would have still thought would have been second, third favourites, wouldn't you?
Don't know.
They're actually 30-1 now. West Brom are 22-1. Give you an idea. It's like the bookmakers have almost lost a bit of interest in them. So maybe they don't quite carry the threat that they might have done a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, maybe as far as Enzo's concerned, he'd be sitting in bed with that little grin on his face, stroking his chin, going, 6 or 7 changes. Let's see what we can do.
I think evens num is quite generous, don't you?
Get on it.
I don't think evens is quite generous when there's like another 23.
You've just said we're the best team to win the league and by miles, and Sheffield United.
There's a lot that can go wrong. So I think evens with 23 other teams in it is, and this early in the season is, you know, is probably a little bit too short, but. I say that it's we are that good. So yeah, maybe it is worth it. It's just what were we at the beginning of the season? Probably about 3 or 4, weren't we? I mean, that looks like you could have made a lot of money on that, couldn't you? I mean, you'd be getting paid out already.
Yeah.
What about Stoke, Killer? I mean, that one feels a little. I mean, they had a great comeback win actually at the weekend over Bristol City. They were 2-0 down, came back to win 3-2. But that one does feel a much more straightforward home game against the team in the bottom half.
The thing is, Tim, because of the fact to some extent that we've gone away to Norwich, we've gone away to Southampton, we've gone away to Blackburn, like you mentioned, you know, three decent teams, we've absolutely destroyed them. Mm. I mean, that's a 10-2 aggregate score. This just feels like your bread and butter Championship games. Now, of course, I'm not going to suggest for 1 second that it is a guaranteed 100% stick your mortgage on it 6 points, because as I've said before, I'm convinced that we're going to get turned over 1-0 at least 2 or 3 times this season. That may just be at home. So those nasty little results are going to come round the corner. But these are just two bread and butter Championship games against very bread and butter Championship teams. I mean, these two have been in the Championship for yonks now, haven't they? And never really pulled up any grass along the way. So it feels like standard fare from that point of view.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. These are just teams that they're not going to come looking to win. It's a free hit for them, but they'll put loads of players behind the ball, and that's what will make it harder for us. You know, there'll be no invention from them. They'll try and hit us on the break, just like Hull did. If we get an early goal, though, then it'll I'm pretty sure the floodgates will open, and I strongly expect us to get early goals in both the games.
By then, we'll have Yannick sitting on the ball in the middle of the centre circle against Stoke again. No doubt. So let's have a look at the predictor. Right.
Oh, Blimey, did somebody predict 4 goals against Killer?
You don't need to jump in. I'm all over the...
Incredibly, how magic I am.
Incredibly, nearly got it exactly right again and did predict 4 goals. Went 4-2, so just gets a point. But that's another ridiculous prediction.
Hold on. It's still just a point. Let's not pick him up too much.
This is the time where you ought to be putting me on a little Hoy's crate and standing around and going, wow, the two occasions we've scored 4 goals, you've predicted it both times, Giller. You are amazing.
You are amazing. I'm just slightly jealous, that's all.
No, I'm not.
Killer, you are amazing, but you're joint bottom of the predictor table with me. Norm leading with 10 points and us two with 9. Right, Killer, let's have 2 predictions from you then for Preston and Stoke.
Okay, I'm going to go for 1-0 the pair.
Oh, much more conservative this week. Norm, what about you?
3-0 Preston, 4-1 Stoke.
Oh, he's just following me, aren't you?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Oh, by the way, just press pause. What chance do you think there is that Tim picking his very favourite 2-1 scoreline on one of these?
No, that's not going to happen. I'm predicting 2-1 for both of them. 2-2-1s. Yeah.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah, why not? I think that's perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. Right, guys, final thoughts. Norm?
Am I allowed 2 final thoughts?
I don't know. What do you think, Killer? That's the sort of it's not really what we do on this show, but I suppose why not?
Oh, I'm going to give you 2 anyway. I'm just going to roll them into 1 then.
We'll edit it out.
like we always edit. okay, so my final thought is I'm really, really hoping Fleetwood hold on tomorrow. But my real final thought is, how often do professional Leicester City football teams both score 4 goals away from home to both go to the top of their respective divisions, with the Leicester men and the Leicester ladies both scoring 4 away from home and topping their divisions after yesterday's games?
Brilliant final. That's a great spot. What a brilliant start for the ladies. Fantastic. Yeah. Killer?
In a weekend where, once again, the media have been all over VAR and the fact that it doesn't work, and people can't lay down lines properly, et cetera, and all the nonsense that's going on in the Premier League, I am loving the Championship.
Great stuff. We're all off to work out if you can mathematically get promoted by Christmas. See you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.